Welcome to a special edition of the Managing Madrid podcast, where after a brief hiatus, I am back, and joining me is Spanish football journalist Alexandra Johnson. Alexandra, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I've been wanting to get you on the podcast for a long time, and this finally, like, this just lines up because Real Madrid is playing Celta, and you just told me before we started recording that you're actually going to the match and commentating a game, which it lines up perfectly. We get your insight. You know Celta just as well as anyone covering the league. So I'm just really stoked to have you on.
I'm glad to be on.
Can you give us a rundown of what it entails of you going to the game this weekend and doing what you're going to do? Because it's commentating and it's kind of new to you, right?
Yeah. I'm actually going to Madrid tomorrow, and then I will be, because I was going to Madrid for another work thing for 4 days or 5 days or what it is. And then they called me yesterday and asked me if I could come down to Vigo and do the commentating for this game. So I will basically be on a plane 4 days in a row, but you can't turn that down. So I'm going down to Vigo on Sunday. I will land like at 5, and then I have to be at the stadium at 7. So it's all very short notice and a little time to prepare, but I think it'll go fine.
Go ahead, go ahead.
No, you.
Well, my question was just going to derail it a bit. What is it like leaving Sweden and going to Spain this time of year? Is that like, is this something you look forward to outside of like a football perspective? Better weather, generally better weather?
Well, Sweden right now is an extremely depressing place to be because it's... it's just dark 24/7 and horrible weather, and it's like that for months. So it's always nice to get away from that and go to Spain. With that said, Spain, this is probably January, February is probably the coldest months of Spain. So it won't be perfect weather there either. Probably a little bit more sun, and then it's Spain, and you get to go to watch La Liga football. It's always the best thing you can do. So I'm absolutely looking forward to that and getting some tapas and just enjoying myself.
Madrid weather this weekend, 9 degrees. I mean, I would take that weather any day of the week for this time of year.
Is good.
Once a year, right, I turn my brain off. I leave the country, go to somewhere warm with my wife. And that, you know, this is me getting back today. And we were just met with waves of snowstorms in Canada. Like, it's insane. But here I am back chatting football with you. So that is an amazing reward to get to. This game on the calendar is interesting because in kind of a rare scheduling anomaly, a team has to play Barcelona and Real Madrid back to back. So what do you think like just Celta's mind frame is in dealing with that?
I think Celta likes these kind of matches, especially playing at home against Barcelona and Real Madrid. If you look at previous season, they've done very well against both these teams at home. And they have gained a confidence when playing against them that they don't have it the same way when they play against other teams, which is quite interesting. Obviously, it's another story when they have them back-to-back, and that's something new. But I think their main match still is the league match, the match against Real Madrid. They did have one player that they did rest against Barcelona, which is El Tuco, Pablo Hernandez in the midfield, and he's a very important player for them. Obviously, they want to win both matches. Now they only got 1-1 against Barcelona, which in one way can be seen really good for Celta, but at the same time, it's not the ideal result to get in a cup tie at home. But I think they will go in pretty much the same to both matches, I would say. It's matches they want to win, and these are the kind of matches this Celta side lives for. It's the derbies against Deportivo La Coruña, and then it's the big matches against Barcelona and Real Madrid. Because they have got the feel that they can actually win over them because they have done it previously. They knocked Real Madrid out of the cup. They won over Barcelona several times. So they have that feeling that it's not an impossible match like it might have been a few years ago. So therefore, it's very exciting matches for the fan base and for the team. And I think they will go in with more or less the same mindset in both these games because it's the games they love to play.
I think like most teams on earth, like 9.5 out of 10 teams, would be thrilled with a 1-1 draw against Barca. I think in this situation, Celta might be disappointed because, for the reason you mentioned, because it's a home draw in a Copa clash, and then you have to go to the Camp Nou and take care of business, which is hard. You know, but having said that, Celta against Barcelona, they do fairly well. I think one of the reasons they'd be disappointed is, for that same reason, is that they historically, especially in recent history, they tend to outplay Barca. The other thing is you look at Barca's lineup, and I only caught all of this after the game because I was on a plane and just catching up, but Barcelona rested a lot of key players. And when I saw that, I was disappointed for Celta too.
Yeah, no, but it is obviously a disappointment, but at the same time, it's Barcelona, and I think they are, it's a bit mixed feelings for a result like that for a team like Celta.
Sisto's goal was unbelievable, though. I think we'll jump into some questions to kind of just bounce around. But one question, you know, so we put out a call to our patrons who actually sent you some questions personally before, because only our patrons knew that you were joining our show. We kind of kept it a secret for everybody else. But and for those of you who want to get in guaranteed questions and into our show and other rewards, go to patreon.com/managingmadrid. You can get different rewards. One of the rewards is a guaranteed question. So one of our patrons, Farzad Ashuri, says, "What do you think about Celta striker John Guidetti? As a Swedish person, I'm very interested. He hasn't started a single game for Celta this season, and rumors say that he is being sold this winter. Why isn't he getting the chances he got last season?" And Farzad also comments on that a bit later, and he says, "No need to answer. I just heard that he signed for Alaves, but it's not an official yet, as far as I know."
No, nothing is official, and it's... I actually got some inside information, so I know that it's not as close for him to sign for Alaves as media says it is.
Mm-hmm.
It can still become another club. It can still become nothing at all. At this point, I'm pretty sure there is talks with Alaves, and they are quite far along, but it's nothing that's going to happen today, probably not tomorrow either. It's a few days away for anything to really happen, so... media said that he's already, some local media said he already done the medical, but I doubt that very much from the information that I've got. So I think we have to wait a little bit longer to know if he's actually going to Alaves or not, but I think he will in the end. But what I think about John and his seasons or his time at Celta, well, I think there is quite a few different reasons for why he hasn't played that much this season.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he got a bad injury on the collarbone just before the season started in the last preseason match. So he missed the first couple of games, which with a new coach is very important matches to play and to show your worth. As Celta started the season with Unser's coach instead of Brisso, as they had before. And Guidetti also had a very good relation with Berisso outside of the field. Mm. You could always notice when you were at the training ground, they were joking around. And this had a good relation. Even when he wasn't playing, he wasn't feeling anger towards Berisso because it was always an understanding between the two why he wasn't playing. And then he would play another match and so forth. And I don't think he has the same with Unse. He hasn't... I can't say for sure, but the feeling I get is that he hasn't had the same conversations with him, the same relationship, really. And so that's one thing. It's the coach. Another thing is the injury that he came in very late and then coming back from that injury and getting playing time at the same time as Celta have some exceptional attackers. And it's really hard to take a place there. You have Iago Aspas, who is having an incredible season and scoring more goals than he's probably ever done before. And being just brilliant. You have Sisto, who you mentioned, his goal against Barcelona before, who's been just brilliant this season. You have Maxi Gomez coming in and scoring in every match, more or less, when Guidetti was out injured, making it even difficulter for him. And you have several other players. So it's one of the most difficult places to get a spot as a forward in La Liga, I would say, of all teams. Even if you look at Real Madrid, for example, you have had players who isn't performing. Not even Ronaldo's been scoring in La Liga and so forth. But in Celta, all of the attackers have been performing. It had been easier if Guidetti was a midfielder or even if he was a defender.
Mm-hmm.
But just to get a spot in that attack when they are constantly performing on the highest level is really difficult. And when you listen to the fans in Vigo, they really like Jan. They want him to stay, but they understand that he needs to leave and wants to leave because he needs playing time. And they will say that they want him and they want him to play, but they don't know where to put him because there's no spot for him. And they also feel that it's not him who's not been performing per se. It's more that there is this different circumstances and he's been really unlucky. And I think that's partly right. But also, I'm not sure convinced that he's a player who fits very well in La Liga, because he has a playing style that maybe is more suited for the Premier League, for a more tougher kind of football. But with that said, being in Spain has been extremely important for him. He's developed, like, during his time at Celta, since he came, I've seen from the matches I've been watching how he's developed extremely during this period in the way he thinks with the ball, without the ball, how he moves, and all these key things that are important in Spanish football. And I think if he, in the future, go back and play in England or somewhere like that, he will have a great advantage of knowing these things together with the playing style he already has. And I'm not sure he is the player that Celta needs, really. If he really suits how they play. But I think that you can't really say, and it's gone up and down, but you can't say that he's been a disappointment. In Sweden, they want people like journalists and everyone, they don't watch the games. They just see that, okay, now John isn't playing. And under Berisso, he did a lot of rotations, and it was not John who didn't play every game. It was Aspas didn't play every game and so forth. And John was actually in their best 11, so to speak. But in Sweden, they don't see that if you don't follow the games. So everyone has been commentating that he hasn't been a starter because he didn't play that league match. But then Celta was focusing on the cup, and he was actually playing in the cup and so forth. So I think he's got too much criticism in Sweden because people haven't really understood the situation at Celta. And they don't really understand how good the other attackers at that club is at the moment. So I don't think he's been a disappointment. I think he's done really well, actually, at Celta. He's just, this season, he's mainly been unlucky, I would say, for all the circumstances that I mentioned before.
I mean, I think there's a lot there in what you said. I think the one thing that stood out was just, I think a lot of people just don't realize how unlucky he's been. I mean, you mentioned the cup appearances last season under Berisso. So he had 8 appearances. He scored 5 goals in that competition, 12 goals overall. And then you look, you know, your point about whether is he more suitable to another league. His numbers in the Eredivisie were phenomenal with Feyenoord. He averaged over a goal a game, or close to a goal a game, sorry. With Man City, and he was kind of like in the youth leagues, that, you know, 2010-ish, that era, he was scoring a bucket of goals. But I think the one thing that people don't realize is how much he's actually been through. Like, you know this more than anyone, but in terms of, like, he had that virus. He had a virus which basically he lost feeling and something, and a nerve was affected in his right leg, which, as a footballer, that's an unbelievable setback. So the fact that
I would just add to that, I was actually told by people close to him that it was that bad that they didn't even knew if he would survive at one point.
It's unbelievable.
And he was just lying in the hospital bed saying he was going to play football, and the doctors pretty much laughed at him because that's not going to happen for you. Sorry, but and now you have him playing in La Liga, so that's pretty incredible.
Have you ever had a chance to talk to him or interview him?
I've interviewed him several times.
One of the things that was interesting to me about him when I was reading up on him is that he actually spent like 5 years, because he attributes that. When he played football in Nairobi and Kenya, he said that was those 5 years in Kenya were massive in his development as a footballer. And that was one thing that was interesting to me. Did you ever have a chance to talk to him about that or no?
I haven't actually talked to him about that because it's been so many interviews about that previously in Swedish media, which is what I normally write for when I talk to him. So I haven't talked to him specifically about that, but his dad was working in Kenya on a Swedish school, and that's why they were living there for such a long time. But he said several times that affected him a lot. And just seeing, they actually had a football team where at the school where his dad was working, which was, you know, everyone had fancy football boots and everything, but he didn't want to play there. He wanted to go and play with the kids in the slum who had no shoes, nothing, because he wanted to experience it their way. And he said that was such a different experience, and to see it like this is kids who doesn't have anything, who will like run without shoes and doesn't even have food for every day. And some of his teammates, they don't live anymore because they've died for different reasons. So it was, I think that affected him a lot more than football wise, and as a person, and to understand that not everyone is so privileged. So that's also interesting part of his story, so to speak.
Elian Zacco, who is another patron of ours, sent the question as well. And I kind of feel like I have to not edit this, but maybe I'm not sure how true his statement is and kind of what the question that leads into, but I'd be curious to get your thoughts on it. So he says, when La Liga teams have a good season, they quote unquote overreach and start spending money and building a better team that starts the season well, but then keep falling down by the end of the season like Sevilla, Valencia, and Betis. Why did Celta make no attempts to improve the squad massively like its La Liga counterparts? Do you see it that way? I thought they actually had a decent summer.
I can understand that with Celta. There is a thing with Celta de Vigo which some supporters are really irritated about. And the thing is, you have to understand the history to understand why they don't spend that much money. And it's because they almost got out of business in 2009, where Iago Aspas actually saved the club by saving them in the second division, because they were on the brink of going down in the third division. Had they done so, they would economically not have made it, probably. And since then, the president of the club today, Mourinho, when he came in, he started saving money, and he kind of saved the club with his way of thinking economically. And they started to, instead of spending a lot of money on expensive players, they would do wise transfers and sign players for, like they did with John Guidetti, for example, and many other players. They would sign players very cheap or for free, and they would scout well instead and be smart, and they wouldn't lure players to come because you will get a big paycheck, but to show them we have an idea, we have a philosophy, we want to do this. And especially in the last 4 years, that's been really successful for them, especially because it's been going so good on the pitch as well. And they've got really players who are very into this project, and it's really the project they are coming for and what Celta want to do rather than the money. But what's happened now is that Celta, it's gone really well for them, and they've never been financially in a better state, probably in the club's history. They have no debts whatsoever. They're just a really healthy club at the moment, and especially thanks to the success in the Europa League and with great signings that they've done and sold off players for, like Milito, Aspas when he went to Liverpool, and then they got him back for half of what they sold him for, and so forth. So they've done really good business to put themselves in this situation. But now the fans, they want them to take the next step. And for doing that, they need to spend money. They still need to be smart, but they need to spend more money. And the president, he just doesn't want to spend money at all. And his entire club, everyone who works for Celta have a very small paycheck. It doesn't matter what work you have, they earn really bad. And this is a problem around the club. But Mourinho, he doesn't want to, he's afraid, I guess, of going back where they were, and therefore he holds really tight in the money. So to a point where it's almost becomes a problem, because they need to grow. And that's also a reason why they lost Berisso, because Berisso wanted to stay as a coach, but he wanted to be able to build Celta, to make them stronger, make them more competitive. And he saw that he couldn't do that because he couldn't do the signings he wanted to do, because the club wouldn't back him because it was too much money. He couldn't do anything really, and he felt locked, and that's why he left. He even said that he really didn't want to leave, but he saw no other option for him as a coach. And a lot of fans it has divided a lot of fans in the Celta community, that people love Mourinho for how he saved the club and everything he's done, and no one wants to go back to where they were. But most of the fans realize that, you know, if we're gonna grow as a club, and if we're going to be able to really compete to maybe in the future be able to compete for a league title or to play in Champions League or something like that, we have to build on this success. We have to build on this momentum we're in, And that's just not happening. And I think that's been one of the downsides of this season, that you see that they are not taking the next step. Instead, they are maybe taking some steps back. And there's a lot of fans who's really disappointed about this.
That perspective is really important, because I think if you're, you know, just the fact that as a club you have an obligation to think long term. You have to be pragmatic with your transfers. If you're a general La Liga fan, most La Liga fans, including myself, just kind of like have arms in the air. You know, why sell Maxi Gomez to China?
Yeah.
The season he's having is unbelievable. You look at the flip side. They brought him in for just over €3. €3 million. And the profit, you know, the way they'll be able to flip him if he goes, there's still no official word, I don't think. But if he goes,
I think it's gone. Before it was more like it's going to happen, and now it's not going to happen. It's the feeling of it. But okay. I think it's a deal that Celta wants more than Maxi Gomez wants. I think he wants to stay in La Liga, but for Celta as a club, as I explained before, it's that kind of money would be huge a huge deal for them. I don't think they've ever got that much of money for a single player. And it would change things a lot, I think, and maybe a transfer like that would help them to actually open up and start spending a little bit of money and have dare to do that, and not feel like they would go back just because they try to sign good players.
But I think the interesting thing, Alexandra, is that even this idea that they didn't build on their season last season, I think they lost Orellana like midway through, which, as you know better than anyone else, that just was like a cancer situation. And then it turns out that Marcelino didn't want Orellana either, and he's just a head case generally. And
Yeah. They're
just fine without him. They brought in Emre Moore, who maybe should be playing more because he's looked impressive generally. Maxi Gomez was an amazing signing, and you got Lobotka, who's playing key minutes, and Joaz Abed. Like, it wasn't a bad summer.
No, I think they, like, as a club, they are really good at doing these smart signings that maybe not a lot of other clubs see, because they do really good scouting. And I've been doing that for the last 3-4 years, and I've been extremely successful in it. But at the same time, if they're going to take the next level, they would have to do another type of signings. And there have been one signing, for example, which is a Swedish player that they were interested in, Sam Larsson, who they almost signed this summer. But that was a case of money as well, and they decided not to do it. And that's the things that supporters get irritated about. It's not that the supporters want them to sign Messi or Ronaldo or big players like that and spend tons of money. It's more to like take one more step and actually, if it is a really good player, put some extra money, even if it's not the big names, and let him develop, and then you will sell him and you get even more money for him. It's just like taking up a notch from what they've done. And I think there's been a few signings that a lot of supporters would have liked that have fell through because they just won't spend the money. But I think the biggest thing that irritates the Celta fans or did was what happened with Berisso, that they didn't let him continue with what he was doing, and they wouldn't stand behind him for the signings he wanted. And he was really building something great with Celta, and it hasn't really been the same with Onze. And even if there's been some players, as you mentioned, that have been outstanding and done much better than expected, and we've seen Pione Sisto as also starting to find his ways in La Liga. The team overall and the way they are playing, and a little bit how Anse have rotated and not rotated, and some players that not playing at all, etc. And it feels like it's not the same harmony in the way that it was under Berisso. And they have taken a step back, even if the signing per se weren't bad signings. It's not like they had a bad summer. It's just not that they didn't take the step that I think many Celta supporters would have liked to see.
Christopher McCormick says, Celta are my favorite team outside of Madrid and La Liga this season, specifically because their front three is on fire. In my opinion, they're La Liga's new attacking trio, like BBC or MSN. How did Madrid handle that attack? So the obvious, what Christopher McCormick is implying is the Aspas, Sisto, Maxi, Gomez trifecta, which has been fantastic.
Yeah, it's definitely probably one of the best in the league, and Celta had one as well 2 seasons ago with Aspas and Nolito and Oriana, and it's a little bit the same thing, but different players and a little bit of different style this time around, where Aspas is the main figure, and the other two are incredible good as well, but it's Aspas leading it, and it's difficult to stop them, I think. As it always is when you have players that are in such form and on fire and just enjoying themselves to that degree. So I think it's obviously difficult. The one thing you can do with Aspas is to get him out of balance, because he's a guy who has a huge temperament. So he has he's the thing with him is that his entire football is out of passion. And I think that's one of the reasons why he failed at Liverpool and failed at Sevilla, because they weren't Celta, because he's never failed at Celta. Before he left for Liverpool, he was so good at Celta, he got his own supporter club named after him, and he had just played a few seasons and was like a youngster. He saved the club in his debut by scoring 2 goals. And he just plays so much with his heart, and so much passion goes into his game, and that's why he can be so good when he's at Celta. But there's also a downside to it, and it's that if he's getting on the wrong side and the temperament's and he's starting to get frustrated, then he loses his head and he can very easily pick up a red card. And as an opponent, I think you want him to pick up a red card. So I think even I'm not normally standing behind this type of ideas, but I think the best way to get Aspas off his game is to be on him all the time and just make him frustrated and not let him get through. And if he doesn't get his chances, he will start to get frustrated, especially if the game is not going for his team's way, etc. And if you get him out of balance, you have lost one of the most important in that trio. So I think that might be one secret to think about, is to just get him to get out of his balance and start getting really frustrated.
Sergio Ramos is injured, but had he been playing, that could have easily worked the opposite way, where Aspas just gets Ramos under Ramos's skin and Ramos just explodes.
Definitely.
Well, one of the things that Real Madrid have been guilty of this season has been they commit so many bodies forward to meet across or just flood the final third in search of a goal, and they completely neglect like their defensive transition and facing counterattacks. And there are teams like Las Palmas who just weren't didn't have enough quality up front to hurt Real Madrid. But if that happens against Celta, that I think Celta could easily punish Real Madrid if that opportunity arises. And also the other thing is that when we talk about Sisto, it's almost like a completely new signing for Celta this season, because he was good last season, but to me he's just made like a bunch of new leaps. His decision making isn't better, his final product is better. Like, this is actually like a much better version of Sisto, who was already a very good player in the league. So that's something I'd definitely be just concerned about.
Definitely, I think Sisto. I think many players has never played Spanish football and in La Liga before. They need a period to adapt, and that was last season for Sisto. It was to start to understand the Spanish game, to start getting into the team, and just really adapt to playing. I think many of those who had followed him when he played in Denmark were a bit disappointed with him last season, because he wasn't living up to the hype and to what he had done before. And some people were starting to question if, is he really that good, as has been said. Even if he was good, as you said, last season, there was so big expectations on him that wasn't really enough. And this season, we're really seeing the Sisto that I think the most people expected to come already last season. But it's a adaptation period, and I think that's something that many forget. But if you look at Barcelona and Real Madrid as well, when they sign players who's never played in La Liga, it often takes a year or 6 months for them to adapt. And one needs to have that in mind and patient with many players when they arrive in Spain and haven't played it before. No matter how good they have been in another league, it's a very difficult league to just get thrown into. You need some time to adapt before we see the true colors of players, I would say. And that Sisto is a one proof of that.
Thomas Berg says, "Hey, Alexandra, please share your view on the surprisingly poor Madrid first half of the 17-18 season. What are the main reasons of the rapid decline in performance from before the summer over the Super Cups until the Clásico disaster? So from an outside perspective, what do you, because from an inside perspective, like the world is on fire. Like the comments we get, the questions we get generally are about which players we need to sign, which players we need to sell. From an outside perspective and maybe a more rational one, what has been your diagnosis here?
I think in one way it's a bit of unluckiness. If you look at Real Madrid, it's not just until lately that they've had all players available. There's been a lot of injuries, a lot of sanctions, and so forth. So it's been difficult to for the harmony to stay and to have the same players playing the same matches after each other. And I think that's been one of the reasons. And then another reason I think is that this season we are seeing more of Zinedine Zidane, the coach, while last season we saw Zinedine Zidane, the manager. And he's very much better as a manager than as a coach. Because last season you had the players on, there weren't as many injuries, you had the same team, the team was more compact, and you had the players performing. And what Zinedine Zidane did was that he got out the best out of his players, and he got another time a team that's in many senses a very individualistical team with a lot of incredible individuals. He got these individuals to play more of a team than I think I've ever seen Real Madrid play in many years. And he got a player like Ronaldo to realize that he can't play in every single match, and that winning the Pichichi is not the most important thing. It's winning the Champions League, it's winning the league, etc. And in that way, managed to get the best out of Ronaldo as well. And what happened this season is that Zidane got another team because there was injuries, there were players who couldn't play, and so forth. And it became where he had to work more as a coach to find the technical ways out of situations and play different players with different players, and we're seeing that that's not his strength, really. So what I would think would have been the best for Real Madrid would be to have Zinedine Zidane and then have another coach under Zinedine Zidane who knows the tactics more better than Zidane does. But I think that's been the main problem, and then the frustration has built, especially if you look at Ronaldo in the league who can't score. And it's been the same on other players that it's just not working. And as more as the frustration comes, the worse it becomes. And with Ronaldo, it's interesting because he scores in the Champions League. He can't stop scoring in Champions League, but he can't score in the league. So I think it's a lot on the mind as well. And then it's, like I said, I think it's just been a bit of the team has been unlucky in the sense that they haven't had all the players available, and it's difficult to become a team when it's new players playing on the position match for match. So I think that's my view.
One more question before I let you go, Alexandra. This one is from Siddharth Kishore, another patron. He says, how big of a role will the Copa matches against Barca play in determining how Celta line up for this game? Will we see some changes to Celta's lineup to preserve their starting 11 for the Camp Nou return leg? Or will we see a full strength 11?
I think they would want to play their best 11. Like I said before, they did rest El Toco, Pablo Hernandez, in the Barcelona match. So he will definitely start this match. There might be a possibility that they then will rest another player this match. So they rested one in that match and then rest one in this in order to get as much out of both matches as they can. But I think also that the 1-1 result in the match that I said before, it gives them a much difficult situation going to the Camp Nou. Would they have won, for instance, 1-0 or something like that against Barcelona, then I would definitely think that they would prioritize the cup more, and they would probably rest more players against Real Madrid. But since it was 1-1, I think they would really like to try to get the best result out of the Real Madrid match. So as I can't promise you it will be like that, I do believe that they will try to play their best 11 as they can. I would say that probably they will change the goalkeeper and put Ruben Blanco instead of Sergio Alvarez, because normally, as many La Liga teams do, they have the second keeper in the cup and the first keeper in La Liga. Now, Sergio Alvarez has been the first choice keeper at Celta for quite a long time. But I think that has changed recently, and Ruben Blanco is it now. Because Ruben, the problem with Ruben is that he's often injured. But when he's not injured, he's, in my opinion, one of the biggest promising goalkeepers in Spain and has been for a while now. And I think that that he is the best goalkeeper for Celta to have in any match. So I would guess he will be starting the match against Real Madrid while Sergio Alvarez was against Barcelona.
He's been very good. Like, it's amazing to me, like, we spend so much talking about Kepa and not enough about Ruben Blanco. But I think it's probably for those reasons you mentioned. He hasn't been playing that much, you know, as Kepa has. But I think just, like, when you see him, the eye test with him is really promising.
Ruben Blanco has always been one a keeper I've looked forward to see what's going to happen with him, because he's always been in the youth national team of Spain. He's been the under-21 national team keeper together with Kepa. And I would have said that he would have been the first team choice of Celta for two or three seasons already if it hadn't been for his injuries, because he's that good. Both Sergio and Ruben, as well as their third keeper, Ivan Vilar, are all products of the Celta Youth Academy. And we have also Joel, who's playing in Eibar, I think, now, who's also a Celta youth product. And there is one more Celta keeper out, and I can't remember who it is right now. But anyway, they have probably the best youth academy when it comes to goalkeepers in Spain. And Ruben is probably the best they have ever produced. And he's just, when he gets regular playing time, he just gets better and better for each match. But he's haven't had a lot of that because he's had this long-term injuries, had knee injuries, and it feels like he can never cut a break. But as soon as he gets a full season, he will definitely be the first team keeper. And I think Celta will have a difficult time keeping him in the long run because he is that good.
When Real Madrid played Celta last season in the league, I think it was the return leg in the league clash. It was the one that was postponed due to weather. And yeah. I remember that was a moment where most Madridistas just were kind of furious about the whole thing, because they knew that at that time, Celta would have probably rested players given their league position, yeah, and because they were putting their eggs in the Copa basket. And if they had rescheduled, which they did, they knew Celta were going to field their starting 11 at that time. But I don't think we're in that situation this season. Like, as you pointed out, it would be shocking, I think, if we saw like any key players rested in this game. Maybe one or two. But
it is an interesting thing about that game. So I remember there was a lot of Real Madrid supporters who got really angry at Celta, yeah, for the game to be postponed. But the interesting thing is that it wasn't Celta's decision. It was the mayor of Vigo's decision. And the club is not very fond of the Council of Vigo at the moment, because they own the stadium of Palaidos.
Yeah.
And Celta have, like, they can't even access the stadium when it's not the match day or something like that. Mm. And they have very restricted times they can be in the stadium. You can't just let anyone go in. Like, then you have to go to the council. I asked one time to go in and take some photos, and they said, sorry, we can't do anything. You have to ask the council and they decide. And it's been to that degree that the president is actually talking about potentially moving the club out of the city so that they can get a new stadium that the council is not don't have their hands on, so they can decide themselves. And they have had problems with the renovation and how things are going to go. And and like the thing that happened with the roof, that's one thing that the club wanted to fix for a very, very long time. But the council is being the problem, and it's the mayor in the end who took the decision as well. So I think the Celta fans were in one way as furious as the Real Madrid fans. Even if for them it was good to move the game, they were just furious how the entire situation was handled. And then Celta got all the blame for something that they couldn't even control, do anything about.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting point of view that I think not a lot of people know.
I mean, it's telling that they'd even consider moving to another stadium, even after it's been renovated at Balaidos, and just for the pure reason of control, because it would be expensive, yeah, for them to do so, for a club that's kind of looking to build, you know, as many, I don't know, just trying to be pragmatic and smart about their finances. That would be a big,
yeah, move, exactly,
for them. Yeah.
And they are, the president, he's serious about it, and he said it like officially that that he's even been looking at a place where they can move, where they can build a new stadium and stuff like that. Now the fans aren't especially happy about it because they obviously want their club in the city. But then that's also a question to divide the fans, because some of them just wants to get away from the council as well, and just want to be like, okay, then we'll just make the drive to the stadium for the matches. Because it would actually have to move quite a long way to get outside of the area, which is Vigo, because it's more than just the city centre. You have a lot, it's like a bigger part, so to speak, around. So they would have to go to Pontevedra or something like that. So it would be a rather long move, but it would still be in Galicia and as close to Vigo as it could get. But I don't think it will happen. I don't think anyone really believe it will happen. So it's mostly a way to get the council to open up for them more and to get more control of their own stadium, I think.
Alexander Johnson, I think I've abused your time enough. probably went a bit overboard given your restrictive time, and I know you got a flight to catch in the morning. So two things. One, thank you so much for doing this. And two, I really hope you have an amazing time in Madrid and your commentating experience goes well.
Thank you. And thank you for having me. It's always fun to speak about football, especially Spanish football.